Well, you're listening to the Jason Kurtman Show. It is May 19th, right? May 19th.
Yes, absolutely.
With me in the studio right now, your friend and mine, Mr. Adam Arnold. How are you doing, Adam?
I'm doing good. How about you, Jason?
I am doing superbly fantastic. Absolutely great. Also, the other voice you heard just a moment ago, my friend, Mr. Rob Chapin.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good tonight, Jason.
Fantastic. Some of you might remember Mr. Chapin from, was it our first or our second?
It was his second show.
Second broadcast. We had Mr. Chapin in. He is the retired law enforcement officer from which state?
Massachusetts.
Massachusetts, yes.
However, last 20 years in New Hampshire, so the Massachusetts rubbed off of me.
It rubbed off of you. Well, how much of Alamogordo's rubbing on to you?
Quite a bit. I actually enjoy it being here.
It's great. And we were talking before the show, Adam, about how the climate here is inducive. It's good for your health.
It's been better for my health, I'll tell you, since I moved out here. Back east, I was not doing too well. Out here, I'm feeling a lot better than I did.
Right, yeah. I feel like more energy.
I'm getting that, too, but let's not tell too many people.
They'll have you do too much, right? Right? Hey, can you... What's that, Adam?
I feel energy every day, but I'm a lot younger than you guys.
Whoa.
Mr. 17, right? Or 18, is it now?
17.
17, yeah. I had the level of a 17-year-old, I felt like I did, of energy, for the most part, up until about 2 or 3 years ago. Of course, I'm 41 now, getting ready to turn 42 in September.
Well, only one thing I want to mention to you, Adam. You may be younger, but always remember these wise old words. Old age and treachery will overcome youth and skill at all times.
It is right now about 88 degrees right here at the studio, 65 degrees up in Cloudcroft. It's 6:04 p.m., and you're listening to The Jason Kurtman Show. And today is going to be an interesting day. I got some good music tracks to play, and we're going to talk about a few things. And who knows? I decided not to have a list of topics of conversation or anything. We're just going to wing this one and see where it takes us. Now, Adam, I know you've been busy. Are you still preparing to leave for basic training?
Yes, sir.
And what are you doing to prepare yourself? Watching a lot of drill sergeant movies?
No.
I had to throw that in there.
It's Gomer Pyle.
Gomer Pyle. Golly! Shazam! Yeah, I loved Gomer Pyle. Didn't he pass? No.
No, it was George Lindsay
who played Goober. Yes, he passed away. What was it, 2 weeks ago?
Just last week, I believe it was.
A great actor. Great actor.
A lot of people don't know. He actually had a master's degree from universities.
Did we just hear a storm siren or something? What was that?
I don't know. Maybe it was...
Sounded like an air horn almost. Right outside.
Maybe a lawnmower?
Maybe it was a lawnmower. Okay, you two don't have headsets on. I do, so I'm having a hard time hearing what's outside. All I heard was so maybe that was a lawnmower. Don't be alarmed. Don't panic. It's not War of the Worlds. It's just a lawnmower. Just a lawnmower. Didn't Stephen King put out a movie about the lawnmower man or something a long time ago? So, Adam, are you excited? When do you leave? You leave in August, right?
September.
I always say August, and I know it's September. And where is your basic training? Is it in Chicago?
It is in Chicago by Great Lakes, or Great Mistakes.
Great Mistakes.
People like to call it.
You know, my dad and my dad, my grandfather, my uncle, they all went to the Naval Basic Training there in Chicago. And I'll never forget, my dad told me a story about when he was going through the chow line, and they'd been there about a week, and the food was just what you would expect at a boot camp. Well, that one particular day, they had like a cupcake or something, small piece of cake on the plate. You might have heard me tell this story before. And the cook leaned over the counter and could tell my dad's eyes kind of lit up. And he said, would you like two pieces? And my dad said, absolutely. And the guy reached over, had a knife, and cut it in two. Just honoriness. But, you know, I imagine they got to have their fun somehow. So, hey, we're going to take a short break. We're going to be right back right after this. It's May 19th, 2012, on this day in history. In the year 715, St. Gregory II began his reign as the Catholic Pope. In 1535, French explorer Jacques Cartier set sail for North America. 1 year later, in 1536, Anne Boleyn is beheaded on Tower Green. In 1568, defeated by the Protestants, Mary Queen of Scots flees to England, where Queen Elizabeth imprisons her. In 1588, the Spanish Armada set sail for Lisbon, Spain. And in 1608, the Protestant states form the Evangelical Union of Lutherans and Calvinists. In 1635, Cardinal Richelieu of France intervenes in the Great Conflict in Europe by declaring war on the Habsburgs in Spain. In 1780, near-total darkness descends on New England at noon. No explanation was ever found. In 1856, Senator Charles Sumner speaks out against slavery. In 1863, Union General Ulysses S. Grant's first attack on Vicksburg is repulsed. 1 year later, in 1864, the Union and Confederate armies launched their last attacks against each other at Spotsylvania, Virginia. In 1921, Congress sharply curbs immigration, setting a national quota system. In 1935, the National Football League adopts an annual college draft to begin in 1936. In 1964, U.S. diplomats find at least 40 microphones planted in the American Embassy in Moscow. And in 1967, U.S. planes bomb Hanoi for the first time.
Happy, happy birthday, baby.
Born in 1879 on this date was Lady Nancy Astor, the first woman to sit in the British House of Commons. Born in 1895, John Hopkins, merchant and philanthropist. Also born in 1941 was Nora Ephron, screenwriter and director. Other birthdays today are former TV host David Hartman, he's 77. Musician Peter Townsend is 67. And model singer Grace Jones turns 60 today. On another note, Nicole Brown Simpson would have been 53 on this date. In other interesting happenings on this date in 1310, shoes were designed specifically for the right and left foot for the first time since the fall of the Roman Empire. In 1886, Eliza Donnithorne died in Sydney, Australia, 30 years after her fiancé left her waiting at the altar. In 30 years, she never left her home and was still wearing her wedding dress when she died. On this date in 1973, singer Tanya Tucker got her first number one country hit with What's Your Mama's Name, Child? In 1991, a 31-year-old Cleveland skydiver survived a 2-mile fall after her parachute failed to open. Jill Shields suffered spine and pelvic injuries when she landed in a swamp. Oh, and do I remember this? In 1992, U.S. Vice President Dan Quayle criticized the CBS sitcom Murphy Brown for having its title character decide to bear a child out of wedlock. In 1994, Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis died from cancer at the age of 64. In 1996, CBS aired the final episode of Murder, She Wrote, starring Angela Lansbury. The show ran for 12 seasons. In 1999, Beckley, West Virginia police arrested a 32-year-old man for stealing the same tools he had been convicted of stealing 2 years before. The tools had not been claimed, so the police planted them in a vehicle stakeout, and the suspect stole them again. And that's the historical perspective for May 19th.
What's your mama's name? 30-some-odd years ago, a young man came to Memphis asking about a rose that used to blossom in his world. People never took the time to mind the young man's questions until one day they heard him ask a little green-eyed girl, "What's your mama's name? What's your mama's name? Does she ever talk about a place called New Orleans? Has she ever mentioned a man named Buford Wilson? What's your mama's name, child? What's your mama's name?" Go, a drunkard down in Memphis lost a month of life and labor to the county jail just because he asked a little green-eyed girl a question and offered her a nickel's worth of candy if she'd tell. A year and some odd days ago,
and her eyes are Wilson green.
That was the number one hit from 1973, and I mispronounced it while ago wrong. It's not Tanya Tucker, it's Tanya Tucker.
Well, I have that New England accent. I've always said Tanya.
It is Tanya. I saw years ago an interview with her, and somebody said Tanya Tucker, and she said, no, it's Tanya, like Tanya Hyde, if you don't get it right the next time. So that was, she's been a star almost her whole life. You a Tanya Tucker fan, Adam?
Just now heard of the name.
Just now heard of the name. That's what I love about having young blood on the show. We get to introduce them to so many. I hate to say vintage because it makes me vintage. That was, of course, I was 3 years old when that played Rob.
Well the whole other thing behind this is, I don't know if you've noticed this look in Adam's eye. He's looking at us, and he's just wondering when rigor mortis is going to start.
Right, yes. Or to look and see if our clothes are zipped up in the back, right? Because, you know, and I had uncles that ran funeral homes, so, you know, somebody's clothes are zipped up or tied up in the back. That means that, you know, they just crawled out of the casket, or they're getting ready to crawl in. Anyway, hey, we'll be right back after this. And, oh, just by the way, just to let you know, you can go to jasonkirkman.com, get on the chat page, and interact with us while we're on the show. But my friend Dawn Kunkel from down in Florida is on there now. She says, oh, to be young again. She says, hi, Adam.
Hi. How are you?
Adam says, hi. Back. We'll be right back right after this. I promise some Elvis. We're going to bring it on.
Yes.
You're listening to the Jason Kirkman Show. Find us on our website at www.kuprradio.com or www.khiiradio.com. You can even interact with us during the show on the chat page at www.jasonkirkman.com. That's Jason, CURTMAN.com.
Kisses and swear that they're brand new. I think that's fine if you ain't lying, but to make them even know what to do. Come on,
make them
even
know it.
Then go ahead and show it. I think that's fine if you ain't lying, but make me know what to do. You won't have no trouble proving it to me. Come right along and you'll find me ample as can be. You
That was Elvis Presley with Make Me Know It. I got another good one here for Dawn and anybody who else is listening tonight. And I shouldn't say whoever else is looking. I know we've got a lot of listeners. For everybody else that's listening tonight, we got a treat for you. I'm going to play here in a few minutes Dirty Old Egg Sucking Dog by Johnny Cash.
That's a terrible title.
Yes, it does. Yes, it's not quite as good as A Boy Named Sue.
I love that song.
Oh, man. I got to tell you, when I was in college, I worked outside. I went to college outside of Pontiac, Michigan, worked outside there. And one night we had a DJ on there, the radio, that was playing country music. And I had she wasn't really a girlfriend, but an interest then back then, a friend of mine. And her name was Danny. And I thought, you know what? She listened to the station all the time. And I called up and I said, I would like to dedicate A Boy Named Sue to a girl named Danny. I heard from her later that day. Well, I got thinking about that earlier this week. We actually talked about that. A Boy Named Sue was actually written by a poet by the name of Shel Silverstein, who wrote the children's poetry book Where the Sidewalk Ends. Have you ever read or heard of that book? That was a classic back when I was in elementary school.
When I was in elementary school, we were still doing See Dick, See Dick Run, See Jane, See
what
Jane
call
Run,
that? The
Dick and Jane Reader.
Okay, and before that, they had there was another type of reader back in the day, but I can't remember what it
Don't
was.
Don't push it. I'm not that old.
Right, you know what I'm getting at. I can't think of the name of it. What was that? Not the elementary reader. I can't remember. I remember Aesop's Fables. When I was being homeschooled, my parents made me read from Aesop's Fables. Good stuff. Good stories in there. Great stuff. I need to pull some of those off the internet and read those to Seth. He'd love it. Speaking of Seth, I almost got him into the studio again tonight until he found out his older brother was grilling hamburgers, and he decided he'd much rather have a hamburger up close to his lips than a microphone. I've about got him talked to come in and shoot some dialogue back and forth with us, Adam. And you haven't met Seth, have you?
I did once.
Once, okay.
I forgot what we were doing.
Oh, he's probably here in the station or something, I'm sure. Oh, the Santa Claus night, wasn't it? Wasn't he here with me when we did the live broadcast with Santa Claus here in the studio?
I believe so, but I think so, gosh.
But anyway,
must have hit my head by then.
We about got him talked in. Last time he was in here, Hank Stuckey was in the studio with me, and he sat right over there. And I let him play with my little next book, and he was busy killing zombies on the next book. And I'm all for killing zombies. I'm all about that. Anyway, hey, we'll get into some Johnny Cash, and then I've got a few questions to ask both of my buddies here in the studio. But right now, here's Johnny Cash.
Well, he's not very handsome to look at. Oh, he's shaggy and he eats like a hog. And he's always killing my chickens. That dirty old egg-sucking dog. Egg-sucking dog. I'm gonna stomp your head in the ground if you don't stay out of my hen house, you dirty old egg-sucking hound. Now if he don't stop eating my eggs up, though I'm not a real bad guy, I'm going to get my rifle and send him to that great chicken house in the sky.
That was Johnny Cash with Dirty Old Egg Sucking Dog. You probably won't hear that on this station for quite a while now that I've got it out of my system. That is going to be put in the file along with, what was the name of that song? Dead
Skunk in the Middle of the Road.
Dead Skunk. So those two are going in the dead animal file of music. So, and I'll have to find another one to play.
You should really rename the show. Just call it the Roadkill Cafe.
The Roadkill Cafe. You kill it, we'll grill it, right? I remember seeing those posters in the truck stop about 10 years ago. I got a question for you, Rob.
Wait, whoa.
Yes.
There were actually restaurants that did that?
No. They were novelty posters that they sold that said, and they had menus under them, too. I don't remember what was on the menu, but they said, It was a poster. It said, Roadkill Cafe, you kill it, we grill it. And then it had a silly menu underneath it. You could buy a poster for your bedroom and put it in there. But, yeah, it wasn't a real restaurant. I will tell you a story, though, speaking of Roadkill Cafe. When, a long time ago, I lived in a little town called Eldon, Missouri, and I saw two cars with their headlights, like, shaped. They were down in the ditch, like they were circled around somebody. And I put, as I pulled up, I saw some fellas in some bib overalls, and they were kind of hunkered down there in the center. And I thought, my goodness, they've been in a car accident, and somebody's hurt. So I got out of my car and walked over to see if I could help or call somebody. And this fella turned around, and he had bib overalls on, no shirt, and a pair of pair of flip-flops or sandals or something, but he had a Bowie knife that looked like it was about 18 inches long, and it was dripping with blood. And he turned around with that Bowie knife, and he said, "We saw it first." I realized then what was going on. I was like, bon appetit, have a good night. And I was out of there, so yeah. Anyway, life in Missouri, or as misery, as you stated a while ago. Anyway, yeah, I let me ask you this. Speaking of cars in the ditches, what was the first car you ever owned, and what was the first car you ever drove, Rob?
Well, in which order would you like it in? I would imagine we would whichever go with the first one I drove. That came first.
Uh-huh.
We had an uncle who had this huge piece of property, and on it, to train the kids, all of the kids, including myself, how to drive, he had a 1951 brown Pontiac sitting in the yard. He actually made an oval track for it.
Hmm.
And there I was, driving that little sucker with the clutch and the three-on-the-tree transmission on that thing.
Three-on-a-tree.
A lot of the younger people won't know what that is, but that's a manual transmission that's mounted on the column, and you have to clutch it, of course, to get it up into first, then straight down to second, and then forward and up for third, and then back down again for fourth. It's almost like a stick shift on the floor, except you're doing it sideways rather than dead on, like with a stick shift.
Right.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had one. I had a 73 Ford F-150. I had to think for a minute. I think it was a 73 Ford F-150. That thing was built like a tank. Actually, I was involved in an accident with a guy I think it was a 98 Ford Ranger, 96 Ford. Mm-hmm. Totaled out the Ford Ranger, just barely scratched the bumper on my car. Man. Those, they don't make them like they used to. Yeah. Absolutely don't.
Well, the first car I ever owned, on the second part of your question, that has an amazing story behind it. It was a 1964 Ford Falcon. Now, at this time, I wasn't living back east. I was doing my college out in California. So I was living up in Big Bear, up in Big Bear Lake, California, which is up in the mountains, and coming back up and down the mountain all the time to San Bernardino, where I was attending the Valley College down there at the time. Well, don't you know, this old Falcon, after going up and down the mountain one too many times, it started blowing head gaskets and just about everything else. So it had this humongous, billowing white cloud of smoke from just burning up all the water and the antifreeze right on the hood of the engine. You could see it. So I'm driving down the hill one day. That's what we call it, you know, going down the mountain, driving down the hill. And I'm just hitting Redlands and going up to the first stoplight in San Bernardino, between Redlands and San Bernardino. And the car is just pouring smoke. You can't see the front of the car. And there's a California Highway Patrolman sitting there. And, of course, this is when they were doing smog devices, when you were attaching them onto the cars. So he comes over, he says, "All right, where's your smog device?" He says, "Officer, I'm driving it. I'll make you all the smog you want." You have no idea how fast they can impound a car.
Oh, yeah. I got a pretty good idea, because I've impounded a few myself for different reasons. But
you know, the CHP guy there, he was in hysterics laughing when I said that. He just says, "I've heard many excuses, but not one like that."
Yeah. I can relate. You and I both, being former wearers of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can relate. Adam, you... You've got a pretty clean car. It doesn't put out that much smog, does it?
No. It's a nice little truck.
You do drive in it. You gave me a ride home in it one time.
Yes.
Yeah, you do have a nice little truck. I, you know, talking about the smog and the you know, one thing I loved about coming out here was basically when you move into the state, you get your vehicle inspected like one time, and that's it. There's no – back in Missouri, we had to do it every year. Matter of fact, I think there is, if I'm not mistaken, I can't remember which county it is. Somebody can send me an email, call me, or whatever, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's one county in the whole state of New Mexico that requires that on an annual basis, and I could be wrong about that.
And I'll believe it's up near Albuquerque. It's probably Bernalillo County.
I couldn't tell you. But back in Missouri, it didn't matter where you lived. You had to have that thing annually inspected every year. And if there was so much as a chip sometimes in the windshield, you could forget it. I had a truck that I had to sell. And it's the law there, too, that before you sell a vehicle, it has to pass inspection.
Wow.
So what do you got there, Rob?
That's something else that you have not seen. Notice that it's all handwritten with a very low number on the right-hand side.
Department of Safety, Division of Motor Vehicles.
Mm-hmm. That's a state inspector's license from the state of New Hampshire.
You were an inspector.
I have that thing for so long. I mean, this is before they were typing them and computerizing them.
It's all handwritten.
Handwritten.
Yeah, fill in the blank.
It never expires, by the way.
You know, I got to tell you, in Missouri, I almost hate to admit this, but it's true. When I would go to get my vehicle inspected, if I went out of town, they would open the hood, take a look in, and then slap a sticker on my windshield. But if I was in town where people knew I was a police officer, oh boy, did I get the works. They took off the tires, made me honk the horn, because the penalty back there, if you're an inspector and you don't follow through, it was like you could lose your license to inspect for a year or two. You could be heavily fined.
Well, the penalty in New Hampshire is not only losing your personal license, you will lose the station license, and you are eligible for a $10,000 fine and 1 year imprisonment.
Yeah, I know it's pretty strict. But back in Missouri, boy, if you went somewhere where they didn't know you and they weren't accustomed to following by the guidelines, they were in a hurry to get you out so that they could have the fellow that they're going to replace the brakes and tires and make the real money and come in next.
Well, I had a police commissioner come in from one of the cities in New Hampshire with one of his personal cars, and he just says,
"Just
you
do
know
it.
I'm a police commissioner, don't you?" I said, "Yep." And I looked at the guy and said, "Tear it apart."
Yeah.
It failed.
Did it? Well, hey, he couldn't write you up for it. So, Adam, is the truck that you own, is that your first vehicle, or is that your second?
Yes,
It is. And, you know, I used to have a little truck like that. I loved it. Loved it. No, I'd like to get one now, but I can't. My family's too big for a small truck like that. We had a 2000 Dodge pickup back home. Bought it, and come to find out after it, of course, it had the quad cab and everything. It was almost still small. But after I got it, noticed some things weren't quite right with it. And it was a good truck, drove good, but it was one of these Katrina trucks. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
Came a little of, leaky?
Well, it went through a big leaky. It came through the hurricane down there. And, I mean, the body was shifted a little bit. Different paint color, but it's a good truck. I loved it, and I got a good deal on it. I think I paid I think it was a 2003 or 2004. Now that I think about it, but I only paid like $3,000 or $4,000 for it. Really, really good truck, and got a good deal on it. Drove it for a couple of years. Sold it to a friend of mine. Actually, after we moved back here, we had it sitting at my brother-in-law's house, and he was going to sell it for us, and he did. Sold it to another friend of mine, one of my backyard mechanic friends. Back home, I'll tell you what, that fellow was good. He could take a $300 job from any dealership and charge you for the parts and $20 labor for the whole day.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, depending on how good a mood he was, he wouldn't charge you for the labor. But he was a backyard mechanic, and he just did that to help people out. He was retired, stayed at home, and loved helping people out. Really nice guy.
The only thing I want to know is, if the days he didn't charge, how much of that six-pack did he get into?
No, he wasn't like that at all. I knew as soon as I said that, I could see that come across your face. No, he wasn't like that at all. He's just a really nice, down-to-earth guy that'd help anybody he could. I'm going to play a song right now, and after I get done playing it, I'm going to play a little guessing game, Rob, with you and Adam, and see if you guys can tell me who the artist is on this song.
Rob's going to win.
Maybe not. Maybe
now,
not.
Why would you say that? Because I'm old.
Well, of course, you know the music more than I do, and
this isn't so much about the music as it is the artist. If that'll give you a hint, he's okay. Not famous for singing so much. I'll give you a hint. Comedian. He started out as a comedian. Here we go.
Adam Sandler.
You'll get this.
Well, if you go down in yonder fold to search among the sheep, his love has been a shelter for me. You'll find him there, so I am told, with those he loves to keep. His love has been a shelter for me. No matter what the cost, his love has been a shelter for me. Why don't you lead me to that rock that is higher than I? Oh, lead me to that rock. Yes, lead me to that rock. Why don't you lead me to that rock that is higher than I? His love has been a shelter.
If you'd have heard that song with maybe a little blowing into the bass jug and a banjo and Denver Pyle thumping a drum on the side or thumping a jug or something, you might guess who that is. We've had some interesting conversation while that track was playing. Adam, you said, I know that voice, but you couldn't figure it out just quite.
No,
right. And
no, I couldn't.
It took Rob just about a minute to get it, but he got it. Rob, who did you guess who that was?
None other than Andy Griffith.
That is Andy Griffith.
And I could almost envision, if you remember the old Andy Griffith show, do you remember the Darling family?
Yes,
that would come down off the mountains?
Yes, and that's Denver
Pyle. You were
Pyle.
Mentioning
the bass
you know,
jug
blowing into the whiskey
yeah.
jug and everything else.
Can't even do it. Can't even do it. I fiddled around with one of those jugs one time playing it. Those make an interesting sound.
Mm-hmm.
I also played with one of those, I can't remember if I'm, the juice harp? Remember the metal thing that you put
juice
in your mouth?
Yes.
Juice harp. Boy, I thought I was going to knock my teeth out of those things. Those things are dangerous. Have you ever played around with one of those
things?
Well,
have you ever noticed that people that play those things usually have no teeth and are about 80 years old?
Well, I don't know about that. You don't see them too often being played. You used to see them every once in a great while. Somebody on a hee-haw would play one. What it was a little piece of metal that was shaped like a banjo. And then in the very middle, there was a big metal crowbar sticking out. And you'd bite down on this thing, and I don't know how you played it. You hummed or something. I tried it once. And once was all I would try it. But you'd pull that metal crowbar out, and it would snap back and hit you in the mouth.
Oh, my God.
It hurt. But they could make this really twangy, folksy sound. It was really a unique sound. Somebody that knew how to play it could actually play it pretty good. But I played it once and got a bloody lip and a bruised lip, and I thought, I'm not this boy, not again. So, yeah, you ought to look that up. How do you spell that? Is it Jew's harp?
Yes.
Is there another name for that? That's the only
if
one I
If there is, it's unknown to me. That's the only one I've ever heard it called.
You know, growing up, both of my great-grandparents played the French harp, otherwise known as the harmonica. So I don't know where they get all these different harp names. I don't know. They were really good on the harmonica, really, really good. But, boy, I don't remember. I think we were at Silver Dollar City in Branson when I was a kid, and my dad bought me one of those Jew's harps. Boy, what a way. He could have just spanked me. I would have preferred that.
Painful.
Less painful, yes. But I'll never forget pulling that thing back and snapping myself right in the face with that thing. That was something else.
I just pulled up a picture that...
You found a picture of the Jew's harp on your... Let me see that there, Adam. Hold that up for me. Oh, are you still getting it?
Yeah, it took me a little bit.
Looks like somebody just came
back.
Yeah,
see what I mean? It's shaped a little bit like a banjo with a metal crowbar in the middle.
The picture looks like somebody just came back from the orthodontist.
Yeah, it does, which is where they'll need to go if they try to play that thing.
Well, I told you, the only people you see playing, they're 80 years old and no teeth.
Well, I about had no teeth after I tried it, but I'm telling you what.
This guy looks like he is 80 years old.
He might be. I don't know.
He's got a picture of him.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to have to find you one of those, Adams. I'm going to have to get on eBay. And you think you'd have enough guts to play one of those?
No.
No?
No, not even once.
See, that guy that's playing it's got a big full beard. And you know why?
Because it protects himself.
Yes, it protects himself from it. That's right. That's like putting a foam mattress over your face before you play that thing. Those are something else. I wonder if anybody in New Mexico even owns one. I think they're that rare. I don't know. There might be one at the Billy the Kid Museum or something up there. I'll never get one of those things again. Never will. I used to play harmonica pretty good. The last time I picked one up, I couldn't remember how to do it. It's not one that we got a fellow in our church that plays really, really well. He carries about three or four different keys with him. And
that would be Don.
Don, yes, yes. Yes.
He's very excellent at that.
He's very good at that. We got a lot of good musicians.
Yeah, we do.
At church. Bob and all that. What's the name of the group they call themselves? Something about Sunlight or Sunshine.
You know, I can't remember what. It's right on the tip of my tongue, but I can't remember what they call themselves.
Well, we'll have to ask them later.
Yeah.
Because they play about every... I know they play like on the fifth Sunday Sings. And
yeah, yeah, usually at least once a month we hear them.
You know, they asked me to play the piano with them one time, just fill in for practice. Mm-hmm. And I did, and they haven't had me back. So, but wow. I'm sure that's just because our schedules now are conflicting. But boy, those fellows play... They play pretty good. They put their whole heart into it. I knew when I first went to that church, the first Sunday we went, they played. And I thought, oh, this is great. They play every Sunday. And I'm used to going to a church and hearing what they call the praise and worship band, where somebody gets out up with the acoustic guitar. I used to say acoustic guitar pretty well until my 9-year-old accidentally said autistic guitar one day. Now I want to say autistic guitar. I know it's not an autistic guitar, but because I heard him say it, that sticks in my mind now. But they get up there with that acoustic guitar and a tambourine. That's just not my style. There's nothing wrong with it, but I like a good old fashioned praise and worship band with the steel. We had the fellow that came for a while played steel guitar. I don't know if you were there then.
Probably not.
But that's my kind of music there, and I had never been to a church where folks played those kind of instruments, at least not in 20, 30 years. Hey, I'm going to play. Speaking of old music, I got a story to tell you. 6:41 right now. Temperature's 87 here in Alamogordo. 64 up in the mountains of Cloudcroft. Back when I was a young kid, we had a group come out to our church. They were called the Gospel Continentals. And these guys and gals, I'd say they were probably late 20s, mid-20s to early 30s. These folks are what started my interest in music. They'd come out, and they were all accomplished musicians. As far as singers went, they were pretty good. But when they combined themselves together, their vocals, they were just awesome. I thought they were, anyway. They've really inspired me over the years, and that's why I recorded a couple of gospel albums and done some other things. Well, anyway...
Now I know who to blame.
Yeah, well, he's going to probably be on the show next year, one of the singers. Long story short, I connected with one of them on Facebook. I found him, and became friends with him, talked a little bit, and one day, just out of the blue, he gave me a Skype call. We talked for almost an hour and a half, I think it was, and we've talked since then, and I found an old track that I had in my collection from years ago, put it to CD. It's a little scratchy, but I'm going to play it for you, because it's just good, you know, I'm the type of guy, it doesn't have to be crystal clear, high fidelity for me to enjoy it. If it's good, I can take it for what it's worth. Here's I'm Glad He Did. I actually recorded a little bit faster version of this song. I've played it on here. But here's the song, I'm Glad He Did, by the Gospel Continentals. That was my friend Doug Lee and his group, the Gospel Continentals. Doug Lee is now he comes back and forth from the Philippines. He's teaching music at a Bible college in the Philippines.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's something else. He really is. He actually, the first time he Skype called me and asked where I was living, I told him where I was living. He goes, I used to be stationed at Holloman there years ago, back, I think, late 60s. Was when it was, but him and his wife, just great people, just absolutely great people. Let's see what we trying to look here. I'm going to play a song again here in a few minutes. Rob, are you a fan of Junior Brown?
I can't say that I am.
Yeah, you remember? Do you remember the song? I'm doing my job. I'm the highway patrol. Maybe you haven't heard that one. I'm going to have to get that one for you.
Maybe I have. Maybe it's just hiding in the dark recesses of this cobweb mind.
Well, every now and then, a country singer or some other type of singer comes out with a really good novelty song.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this isn't like Dead Skunk or nothing like that. But it's one of my favorite. Junior Brown's got a couple of songs that I really, really like. I got to say, this is probably my favorite. It's called My Wife Thinks You're Dead. The lyrics actually go, you're wanted by the police and my wife thinks you're dead. I've played it, I think, once or twice before. Here it goes again, Mr. Junior Brown.
It's good to see you, baby. It's been a long, long while. We're both a whole lot older and seen a lot of miles. But things are really different now since the good old days. You've been in some trouble since we went our separate ways. We'll have to say hello maybe some other time instead. Cause you're wanted by the police and my wife thinks you're dead. Somebody spread the rumor that you had lost your life. At least that's the way I heard it and what I told my wife. Now here you showing up again and talk is getting round. I can see that one of us will have to leave this town. If you think that I want trouble, then you're crazy in your head. Cause you're wanted by the police and my wife thinks you're dead. And disappeared. Nobody knew what happened. Where you've been for all these years. Now trouble's what you're looking like, cause trouble's where you've been. And I can see the kind of trouble you could get me in. You better pay attention to every word I said. Cause you're wanted by the police and my wife thinks you're dead. To my wife, and I don't never break the law. I don't know where you're headed for, but I know where you've been. We reminisce, now let's just go our separate ways again. Go find another ex-sweetheart to hang around instead. Cause you're wanted by the police, and my wife thinks you're dead. I said you're wanted by the police, and my wife thinks you're dead.
Now, I got to tell you, folks, there's a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes during the music. I've got a message here from Dawn Kunkel. She says to Rob, it's just because he's old, talking about the music that you're familiar with. And Rob told me to type in there that he's not old, he's just mature. So I did type that in there for Rob, and then right after that I put in, I say he's matured like a moldy cheese. Now, Rob knows I'm just kidding.
I age like fine wine.
Wine, yes.
Just
yes.
Before it turns to vinegar.
How
just
old is that wine?
I don't know any. I don't know the first thing about alcoholic beverages, and don't care to. It's just not my thing. Anyway, Dawn says she likes blue cheese, so that's okay. So.
Okay, that'll roke fit'll be fine, Dawn.
Yeah. Okay. See, you really need to, folks. You need to get on JasonKerman.com and go to the chat room during the page during the program because you'll see stuff that goes on behind the scenes. It's a little bit more fun and interactive, and that's my friend Dawn Kunkel down in Florida. Though, boy, we used to have some good times together, her and her husband and us, and just used to do a lot of stuff, going out to eat at the Mexican restaurants. I am going to...
Well, I can see that.
Yeah, well, hey. Anyway, if I can call you moldy cheese, you can... Yeah. Hey, we're going to play. Rob said he likes rock and roll, so I'm going to get a little bit heavier on the side.
He
right?
just didn't want to feed me another line.
Nah. I watched a document. It wasn't a documentary. It was a hit. It was a movie on Netflix about this next group that I'm going to play. Interesting story. These guys were, two of them were actors, two of them were musicians. A lot of struggles in this group coming together, and a lot of controversial issues with this group. But Rob, I hope this is a little bit more on the rock and roll side, the old time rock and roll. I'll play this for you, and then I've been debating for weeks whether to do what I may do next. So we'll play this song first, and then we'll move on to something else.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales, and for someone else, but not for me. Our love was out to get me. Now that's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. I thought love was more or less a given thing. Seems the more I gave, the less I got. What's the use in trying when all you get is pain? When I needed sunshine, I got rain. Oh, then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace. Then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind. I'm in love. I'm a believer. I couldn't leave her if I tried. Yes, I saw her face. Now I'm a believer.
Okay, Rob, Adam, you guys know that I like to record music, and I generally only have done gospel music.
Correct.
But when I back in Missouri, there was a time when I put myself on a little exercise regime. Of course, I like Elvis. I found a song that I hadn't heard Elvis do before, and I've actually played it on here. But just for kicks and grins, I had a friend. Back in Missouri that we used to jam and play some Elvis music together. But I never recorded anything because I really only liked recording gospel music. But just for kicks and grins, I recorded this and sent it to him. And I haven't done anything with it, never planned to, but I found it a couple of weeks ago. And I debated on playing it because I am known for my gospel music. But I thought, yeah, so what? Let's have a little fun. Here's my version. It's not the same instrumentals. I played all the instrumentals on this, and it's totally different than the original. But here's my version of Mess of Blues. Come on. There we go.
I just got your letter, baby. Too bad you can't come home. I swear I'm going crazy sitting here all alone. Since you've gone, mess of blues. I haven't slept
never blues. Who's that ghost teardrop rolling down the face? Well, if you cry when you're in love, sure ain't no disgrace. I gotta get myself together before I lose my mind. I wanna catch the next train going, leave my blues behind. Since you've gone, I got a mess of blues. Our roots that goes at the eardrop, rolling down the face. If you cry when you're in love, sure ain't no disgrace. I'm gonna get myself together before I lose my mind. I'm gonna catch the next train going and leave my blues behind. Since you've gone, I've got a mess of blues.
Well, it's that time again. Time I kind of feel like a kid, a four-year-old kid being told to go to bed. Time to close down the show, the Jason Kirkman Show. Rob, it's been great having you on the air with us again. We've had a blast tonight. Played some good music, had some fun. Adam, are we going to see you again next week, or are you off running track? Or
no. So next Saturday is graduation, but I will try to be here. My grandma will be here.
Oh, really? The same grandma that listens on Sundays to the recorded show?
Yes, sir, and you know if she's okay with it.
Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. Bring her in. Yes, absolutely. So, Granny, I know you're listening tomorrow. Just plan on it. Plan on it. You know what we ought to do? We ought to bring some cupcakes in or something just for fun.
I'll let you know.
Maybe I can go pick up some sushi. I don't know. Rob's not too keen on that idea.
I'm about as keen on that as you and your wife with liver.
Liver, yes, I know. Liver shall never pass the threshold of the Kirkman household unless I sneak it in. Hey, it's Jason Kirkman Show. You are listening to the Jason Kirkman Show. And we're going to go back to our scheduled programming at this time. Thank you so much for listening. Don Kunkel says, have a good week, guys.
You have a good week as well.
It says, have a steak at home. I know I posted on Facebook I was going to have a steak, but it's actually going to be hamburger. It's going to be a hamburger for me tonight.
Chop steak.
That's right. So back to the regular scheduled programming. Have a great night. See you in church tomorrow.